from the Carter Subaru Studios. This is the G and Ursula Show with G Scott and Ursula Voitin.
Fresh Fridays. I am trying to contain my excitement. Good morning to you, Ursula.
Happy Friday, everybody. Good morning, G.
I'm standing on a table right now. Everything is in check right now. It's Friday. It's Fresh Fridays, Ursula. I checked the bank account. I got paid. Check cleared.
I brought donuts.
You brought donuts. Taking Lillian to dinner tonight. How's your morning?
Great. And it's even better because I just found out we will be having a guest coming up after Heather's newscast at 9:30. We're going to be talking to a nurse who is giving up her profession after nearly 30 years. And this is all over the vaccine mandate. So okay. We will have a conversation with her at 9:33.
Okay.
And then 10 o'clock, I also get excited because we have our weekly conversations with Michael Medved. And so lots to talk about there. And then, you know, there is going to be that big game on Sunday with
right.
the Seahawks, and something's going to be very different. So we'll have a preview of that with Mike Salt coming up at 10:33.
Oh, packed show. That means we got to get to it. Let's get to Ursula's top five news stories of the day, brought to you by Economy Fence Center.
If you attend a large indoor or outdoor event in our state, you're soon going to have to prove that you have been vaccinated or show a recent negative COVID test. Governor Inslee announced yesterday that this latest order is going to apply to all indoor events with 1,000 or more people and all outdoor events with more than 10,000. So this would include conventions, concerts, sporting events, fairs, and theme parks.
This does not cover large venues like shopping malls, museums, or grocery stores that are open to the public as part of their operations. Religious services are also will be exempt from this requirement, as are K-12 school-related events that occur on school property.
And this order would apply to everyone 12 and older, and it goes into effect November 15th. The question I have for you is, do you think this latest order is necessary?
No.
And why?
No. This is one of those tuck your shirt in, sir. You're in our establishment. In order for you to come golf here, you need to have a collared shirt on. Look, I know it seems like you got to make some kind of order, but this is one of those that I kind of scratch my head. I'm not even being emotional about this. I'm being very serious. This is an order that I thought, I don't know. If people are getting vaccinated, this order is not going to make there's some huge increase with vaccinations. If that's the goal, I kind of think this was unnecessary, but I don't want to be picking on Governor Jay Inslee because he has done a good job. What are your thoughts?
Well, a couple of things. So one is that I want to attend football games. I want to attend concerts. So, for that reason, I'm okay with it because I want to open up everything as much as possible. But if you are unvaccinated, every day the world does keep shrinking for you. And I can't help but feel sad for people who are in that position.
Do you? Wait.
I do. I feel sad because I think
why?
In some cases when... Because I want to be mad at the vaccine. I mean, at the vaccine, the virus. I don't want to be... I think that there
That's
are
fair.
Truly people who are struggling with this. I think that there are also people who are very fearful. And I just want to take all those things into account. Yet, I also am in favor of the mandate and I am, you know, in favor of the vaccine. We've made that very clear. My hope, my true hope is that we can get to the point where the pandemic is to the point where we're just going to have to live with a certain amount of disease and we have all these other things where not that many people end up losing their jobs. I mean, that's a Pollyannish look, but that is how I feel.
That's why people love you both on this show and in your family. You are the reasonable one. You are the one that is concerned always about everyone. I'm not, and that's awesome, and that's amazing. I'm not saying I'm concerned about the virus. I'm concerned about this pandemic, but I'm not concerned about somebody who does not want to get vaccinated. Like, that's your choice. I'm not mad at you.
Yeah, and I guess I am still concerned because they are part of our community too.
Okay.
But on a practical matter, how is this actually going to be enforced? So I told you we have Husky tickets, and so we had to show proof of vaccine. Well, anyone can show a picture of a vaccine card. The reality is they're not looking at your ID, and the governor's external affairs director, Nick Strully, even admitted this. They're not checking your ID.
It is just a proof of vaccination status. There will be no ID that needs to be shown as part of that requirement.
And then here's one other little argument that I have for people who are saying, well, this makes no sense. Because this does not cover shopping malls. This does not cover museums, grocery stores, place, you know, churches.
Mm-hmm.
The virus does not know the difference between you being in a crowded church versus you being in a crowded stadium, right?
But this
is really about mitigation. This is really about reducing the risk. But
it does know the difference. It does know the difference if you are walking into a restaurant as opposed to sitting down at your table. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Like the
virus be like, hold up, Ursula, chef, you sitting down, you drinking water? Okay, don't touch them. But if you are walking inside the establishment and you don't have your mask on, bam, COVID get you.
But this is where I think you and I are saying that, yes, there are sometimes it's like some of it just does not make sense. So I just tell myself, what they're trying to do is reduce the risk. It's a cost-benefit analysis kind of thing that constantly goes on. But for some people, especially people who see things just black or white, this is very, very difficult. Employees at the King County Sheriff's Office who don't prove that they've been vaccinated or apply for an extension by this coming Monday will not automatically lose their jobs. King 5 News got a hold of an internal memo from Sheriff Mitzi Johanknik, and this email says that employees who don't show proof or have an approved exemption should keep on reporting to work until further notice. It says they're going to get a letter on or about October 20th proposing separation, and they're going to have several options to choose from in terms of their response, including where they can choose to have a hearing where they can plead their case before any action is taken. So a couple of questions for you.
Yes.
And to all of you who are listening. What are you expecting next week?
I'm expecting a couple things, depending on which areas. Like, for an example, I believe based upon when they start tallying up things this weekend, look at the numbers right now over the weekend before the 18th, before Monday, that being a deadline, I think they're going to assess it and see like, okay, this profession here doesn't look too good. Okay, we need to grant a few exemptions there. Okay, this here is looking pretty good. So what I'm saying is this: the profession that has the most vaccinations, like if it's to the point where you're at 85-90%, then there's going to be no extension. But I think there's going to be some love and exemptions that are going to be given. And then I also believe that there's going to be a lot of people who have not shown or turned in their vaccination card. I believe we're going to be seeing a lot of that, too. And I am looking forward to the 18th because I'm looking forward to stopping this whole, like, who's getting vaccinated, who's not. Look, come the 18th, I'm looking forward to just moving forward. If you did get vaccinated, that's on you. It ain't my business. I support you. If you don't want to get the vaccine, you should be supported. If you're an employer and it's mandatory for people to get the vaccine, then I support that too. Can it be both ways? Can it be both ways?
You know, again, I'm looking at this where I think you're going to get to a very, very small group of people.
Mm-hmm.
And some of them are going to be close to retirement. They're just going to leave anyway. And they are just going to make that choice. And, you know, life is about hard choices. But in some cases, if they're like early in the profession and they have a legitimate reason, or, you know, they need more education on it, or they just plain and simply don't want it, I think it should be on a case-by-case basis. And then some are just going to have to part ways. But as of right now, more than 80% of the sheriff's office is vaccinated. I just don't think we're going to see the big walkout there, especially. And have you noticed we haven't heard anything about Pierce County sheriffs or Tacoma police? Like, why is it only that we're hearing from SPD and King County Sheriff, and especially SPD? Have you ever thought about that? Like, why haven't we heard about this issue with Snohomish County Sheriff's Office?
That's a very good point, because I would bet, I don't know this, but I would bet that Pierce County and maybe Tacoma might have lower vaccination rate between those here, King County and SPD. And I'm only saying that because I'm mirroring how Pierce County and King County are compared mm-hmm. to vaccination rates in itself.
So my question goes back to how much of this is posturing? I mean, it's just something to think about. In their first televised debate, the candidates for Seattle mayor clashed on how they would address the biggest problems facing the city. When it comes to homelessness, former council president Bruce Harrell said only 2% of people who are living on the streets refuse services. But for those who do, he's not going to allow them to continue camping in parks and on sidewalks.
If we're going to be honest in this city, and the next mayor has to be completely transparent and completely honest, there are also some unkind people in some of these encampments, and they are preying upon the others. And so I have to make sure everyone is safe and everyone protected. And when I say consequences, we'll treat each case on a case-by-case basis.
During her campaign, current city council president Lorena Gonzalez said that she is against any homeless sweeps, and she reiterated her position in a debate last week. But when asked last night, she said you cannot force people to move. And I mean, this is actually what she said in last week's debate first.
I am not, as mayor, going to forcibly remove people out of one public space and shift the issue to another public space.
Okay, so again,
I believe that. Okay, I believe that. But go ahead.
So last night she was asked again, "What are you going to do about people who say no to help?"
Lorena,
I think we have to be careful about crossing the line and forcibly subjecting people to treatment that they may not otherwise be ready to receive. Those policies have been tried in the past during the war on drugs and otherwise, and so let's not go back to the policies of the past that have been proven to not work.
Okay, wait.
So then again, she was asked, so are you still against clearing camps from parks and sidewalks?
Mm-hmm. I've said I don't want people living anywhere, in any place, in any corner of our city outside. My goal is to bring people inside, to end homelessness, not just hide it, by sweeping people around and subjecting them to, in my opponent's own words, consequences for living and surviving outside.
Okay, let me get right to it. The first clip that you played of her, that's where she stands on this, right? Like, she does not stand on any sweeps, and that's fine. I mean, I think that's, she's made it clear, and you can kind of hear it in what she's saying right there.
Yeah.
She danced around it, but the answer and how she plans on doing things does not change. Now, look, the war on drugs. Check this out. The war on drugs and how things were done years ago, this is something that I talk about. No doubt about it. The way they did that, the way they locked people up for those problems, the way people were going to jail for having a drug problem was horrendous and terrible. Now, let me just say this. I do think that this is kind of different, and I'm going to say kind of different, because what's happening now is that we are just flat out having this attitude of just allowing people to just live there. And then at the same time, we are having a lot of crime. So the ones that don't want to receive the help and get the help, they're saying, no, I ain't leaving. I'm staying right here. Well, then now you're some of the ones that are causing the ruckus and the crime that I have a problem with. What's going on right now ain't working. It's not
exactly
working.
And what I heard from Lorena Gonzalez is that it's really not going to change. She's not going to do anything when it comes to the people who are living in the parks and on the sidewalks until there is enough housing for everybody. And again, that's just never going to happen. So what I heard from her was more of the same. But when she was really put on the spot, she didn't want to just flat out say again, I'm against any sweeps. So on the issue of changing single-family zoning to allow low-rise apartments in all neighborhoods, Lorena Gonzalez said once again that she is in favor of upzoning every single part of the city. But Bruce Harrell said, not so fast.
The city is going to be a walkable, bikeable city that has, apartments and other kinds of home ownership opportunities that aren't just limited to million-dollar homes like they are right now.
Bruce, how would you like to see this, used to be known as single-family neighborhoods, look
my
different?
My opponent
string a lot of words together, but she's not saying what she believes in. That's the total elimination of single-family zoning. I mean, simply put, that is not my vision. That I grew up in this city. I went to Seattle Public Schools here. I went to college here. You cannot tell me that every neighborhood is conducive toward having many apartment buildings in their neighborhoods.
On that point, Bruce Harrell wins, in my opinion.
Yes, he wins. And let me just simplify something, okay? I don't like it when people just say, hey, this city is just going to be, you know, bikeable and walkable situations. No, whoa, wait a minute. That's this idea. You're talking about those leaving up their apartment, wake up and let me go get my fresh cup of coffee and let me walk down to work. You're talking about folks in tech. What about those with families? What about those that are disabled? What about those that are elderly? Check this out, Ursula. Not everybody can walk and bike two things, right?
You're absolutely, you make a great point. And right now they need to take a look at some of the bike lanes that they've put in, because some of those bike lanes, I've yet to see a bike.
Facts. And we let's talk about the disabled and the elderly. And then, by the way, I'm not trying to make this wide sweeping. I'm just trying to be realistic. Let's not turn this into everybody that's living downtown Seattle or everybody that lives in Seattle is walking and biking to work. That is unrealistic. Some folks need their car. Some folks don't work downtown. Isn't it possible to live in Seattle and maybe work in Kent? And then isn't it possible to not try to, these bike lanes are causing people to park 8-9 blocks away from where they live.
Yeah. Well, and then on the police issue, Bruce Harrell reiterated that he is against defunding, and it was actually the dysfunction between police and city leadership that convinced him to get out of retirement and enter the race. He also said he thought it was a humiliation of Chief Carmen Best that persuaded him to jump back in the race. But Gonzalez says that the police department needs a massive culture change.
We have got to have a mayor who is not going to make excuses for a police department that has significant operations and management issues, a police department that also has deep cultural and reform issues, a department that had the largest contingency of officers at the January 6th insurrection, a department that spent weeks on weeks tear gassing our most dense residential neighborhood. I heard stories of a father who is supporting me in this campaign that told me stories about how his six-month-old in their apartment was vomiting as a result of the tear gas. These are the real issues that we have to address at the police department, while also making sure that the chief law enforcement officer, who is the mayor, is giving clear directives on day one to the chief of police and to the rank and file that it is her expectation that they show up every day and do their public service. No other city employee at the city is allowed to simply say that they're not going to do their job because they disagree with the politics of their elected leaders.
Dear Lorena, hands down, the best and greatest thing I've ever heard you say. There was not one thing that she said right there that I disagree with. Not one thing, because there is a cultural problem within SPD. There is a leadership problem within SPD. She ain't lying, Ursula.
She's not, but I also think in that case, she also goes too far. And this idea of defunding police by 50% or 25% or whatever it is
now. Did she say that in that soundbite?
She said 50%. Not in that soundbite, but she has said it. That is her position.
Okay, wait a minute.
I'm not just going by soundbite. I mean, that is her.
Well,
the other. Yeah, go ahead.
I can only respond to what I just listened to. Now, if she wants to talk about 50% defunding of the police, I disagree with that. But in what she just said right there, that was absolute truth.
Hmm. Okay, we're out of time. But to me, that sounds like, again, someone who has a very negative position toward the police department. And right now, what we're dealing with is we don't need a mayor who has a hostile approach to policing, I guess. Okay, we are way late.
Darn.
Still ahead, a longtime nurse is leaving the profession after nearly 3 decades because of the vaccine mandate. We'll be talking to her next. is 9:35. Welcome back to the G and Ursula Show. Just a reminder that you can text us and interact with us in real time, 888-973-5476. That's 888-973-CHIRO. And we've been telling you that on Monday, it is the deadline for many workers around our state to show that they have been vaccinated or potentially lose their job. And that includes many healthcare workers. It's not clear who's going to be losing their job, but one of my brand new friends on Facebook mentioned that she is going to be giving up her profession. She is a nurse. Her name is Cheryl Corin, and she is a conscious sedation nurse at Confluence Health in Moses Lake, where she has worked in nursing for nearly three decades. And she joins us on the G and Ursula Show. Good morning, Cheryl.
Good morning.
Thank you so much for agreeing to come on the show. We're trying to better understand what goes into the decision that folks who've been in healthcare or other professions for a long time decide that you're not going to continue in that profession. What was your reason for leaving now?
Basically that I was being forced to do something that I didn't want to do.
And you... Yeah. Yeah, and you have been there for a long time, and you actually had applied for a religious exemption, right?
I did, yeah.
And so what happened?
Well, they delayed they weren't really sure how they were going to deal with the exemptions. But I finally got my answer on October 5th, I think, and it was they accepted my religious exemption, but they were not willing to make any accommodations for me to continue working in healthcare with patients if I wasn't vaccinated. So I was given the option of going on a leave of absence for 12 weeks, which I had to use all of my PTO. And when that ran out, I will be not paid. And choosing that option, I was able to continue getting my healthcare until I'm off of the 12-week leave of absence.
Will you be, so when this happens, and I believe that January 3rd is the date that if you still aren't vaccinated by that time, that you'll be let go. And so obviously you're not going to get the shot. Will you be able to, once you do leave, Social Security and or retirement, how does that work for you?
Well, yeah, I mean, I'm 61, so I can get into my 401k money. If I need to, and I could apply for Social Security in June if that's still an option. Yeah.
So, Cheryl, you work in the healthcare industry. You're also a health and wellness coach. Can you talk about why you decided? I mean, so was it something? I know you said you don't like the mandate. Was it something about the vaccine? Have you been vaccinated for other things, or are you? Where do you stand on other things that are required for your profession?
Yeah, I am not anti-vaccine. I have had all the vaccines I've had the diseases. I mean, when I was little, I had measles, mumps, and rubella. I've had chickenpox. And to me, the science and the things that I learned in school, when you have an illness or a disease or you have a natural immunity to things. And so I had COVID in December of last year, and I have a natural immunity. And they are basically just telling me, no, that doesn't count. And I shouldn't have to be vaccinated against something that doesn't provide me better immunity than what my body already provides me with. So I just feel that they are using fear tactics and to get people to be vaccinated, and I just think it's immoral.
I totally understand, and I think that I believe that you have that right, and you have the opportunity to, you know, at the end of your career or whatever the case might be. So what, you don't have a problem, and you're not anti-vaccine, you're just anti that it has to be given out. And would you agree that most people are different when it comes to the antibodies? So, for example, you had COVID, you and your husband had COVID in December, and now, you know, obviously you have antibodies. Would you agree that all of us are different as to how long those antibodies last in our system?
I think that there might be some, you know, natural waning of immunity as time goes by, but it's been not studied very well, and so they don't know how long our immunity lasts. I know that the last time that I read an article on this was that 9 months out, we still had robust immunity, people that they were testing. So, I mean, it's like, why am I forced to get a vaccine against something that I have immunity to? You know, if you want to show me that my immunity is waning and that this vaccine might be good for me, then that might be something I might consider. But another thing that I think is terrible is that they're lumping us people who have immunity in with the group of non-vaccinated people. Mm-hmm. And I don't think that that's fair. I think, you know, they're dividing camps, and that's just not fair. I have immunity to some kind of immunity. My husband actually got COVID in March. So he survived without getting it when I had it in December. And then after he got it in March, I didn't get it again. Right. So
what do you say, you being in the healthcare industry, and I'm quite sure, first of all, appreciate what you have done, because I have a lot of respect for all of you that are in the healthcare profession. I want to be very clear about that. What do you have to say to those who, like my cousin died, right? And some people did not make it from COVID. Mm-hmm. So when they hear you say that you made it and then your husband has made it, how can people know if they're going to make it or not if they get COVID, if we can all agree that everyone's different?
Yeah, that's hard because I know that this it's a real virus. It's a real situation. People are dying. I don't have an answer for that, but it's like, just like your cousin got it, I got it, and I wasn't sure if I was going to, you know, how it was going to affect me. And I had that fear too when I was home in quarantine. Would I get worse? Would I get through this? But so, I think.
So what's our best defense? What is our best defense towards COVID? Like you said, I'm quite sure it was scary for you, considering your age at the time, and you got COVID, and it sounds like you got COVID before you got in a vaccine. So I would assume that that was scary. In your opinion, what is our best defense towards COVID?
Well, I know that I don't think that it's what they're doing now. I think that what they're doing now is just continuing to spread fear. We need to protect the people who are vulnerable and not have to worry about the people who are either have immunity or even people who have the vaccine still have the ability to get COVID again or the first time. Some people have never had COVID and they got the vaccine and now they're getting COVID again or they're getting it. So I don't know what that means, but I think that we're going about it all wrong. Personally.
So how do you feel leaving a profession that you clearly love for nearly 30 years? Would you have made this same decision if you were just a few years into your career?
I know nurses who have just new graduates who have left their dream job that they got because of this mandate, and I think I would have. Yeah.
Cheryl, we appreciate your time. Thank you so much, and best of luck to you, and thank you for the birthday wishes that you sent me. We are new Facebook friends, and appreciate you joining the show.
And Cheryl, before you go, I want to reiterate my thoughts. Thank you for what you have done in our healthcare industry. Well, we appreciate you.
Oh, well, thank you. And I'm sorry for, you know, the people that are affected by this. I am not trying to diminish anything that they've gone through. This is horrible. It's horrible what's happened to us as a country. And I'm just trying to do what's best for myself, basically.
Totally understand. All right. Hey, coming up next, Ursula and we need to talk. These are the top things that people discuss in therapy about their job. We'll discuss that next. It's G and Ursula. It is the G and Ursula Show. And we need to talk, and what we need to talk about is we need to talk about the interview that we just had on our show. At the end of the show, if you get an opportunity, please listen to the podcast. Ursula, your thoughts about the interview that we just had.
Well, we promised on this show that we are going to put opinions that are different from ours. This is a woman who obviously had a very different opinion. We had put a call out. We wanted to hear from healthcare workers who were willing to quit their jobs. No one had taken us up on that offer. I actually saw that this woman is, she's one of my Facebook friends. I don't know her, but and she had posted that she was leaving the profession after 30 years. We disagree with her reasons. We have talked about being pro-vaccine. We believe it is the tool. It is the best tool that we have right now. The healthcare is one of those professions where we have great respect for nurses. And I think, geez, so many people are upset with you because you said, I respect you. I thank you for doing the work that you did. Her decision right now should not negate the 30 years that she has put into this profession. That all said, I think it's kind of crazy. I don't know. She says she would do it the same and that there are people who are leaving the profession very early in the career. It's a tough profession. And we do have great respect, but we can have great respect for you and still disagree with the decisions that you are making.
I mean, people are mad at me. I mean, this lady, Cheryl, she has been in the healthcare profession for nearly 30 years. There has to be some respect. That's one. And number two, sure, I don't necessarily agree with her. But I also have to say, and I want to be really clear about this. I keep saying this. I support your choice to not get vaccinated. And I also support the choices of employers telling employees they have to be vaccinated.
Exactly.
My brother Dre says it best all the time. Both things can be true.
Exactly. As 425 says, it's just really sad to hear you guys tell this lady how much you appreciate her when she's promoting anti-vax values. She specifically said she's not anti-vax. Just right now for her with this situation, she's not okay with it. So she is willing to walk away from a job that she loves because of it. She didn't tell people this is what you should do. And this person is saying how many people got COVID because of her and her husband. Well, we don't know that. But right now she is walking away from a job because she's not willing to do what they're saying is mandated. So we wanted to hear that. Every day we also hear from people who say, you need to hear from people from the other side. Here is your other side. And we wanted to be respectful. We disagree. Gee, you brought up the question about antibodies. I mean, there are some people who can test and have zero antibodies.
Right.
So
and I also, and I also asked her, okay, what is the best way to fight this? Outside of what we're doing, I don't know what another, and she didn't have another answer for what was best to fight this. But again,
no, and she also said it's very real. She's seen people die.
Absolutely. Respect to Cheryl, no matter what. Coming up next, Michael Medved will join the show. It's G and Ursula.